Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
This is another edition of Metaphysical Romp 2, and this is Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck having another beautiful day in my consciousness with my friends that are at the Durham end of the virtual kitchen table.
Here we are, and this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton, and it's another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And this is the Reverend Dr. Bill Holton, and it's very definitely another beautiful, beautiful day in my consciousness as well. And as you guys know, Cher and I are the co-founders of a hybrid unity ministry, and our name is the Unity Center for UniversalProsperity.com, and we spell universal Y-O-U because it's about your spiritual growth and happiness.
Yes, and you can find us very quickly by going to ucfyp.com.
And I have my website, paulhasselbeck.com, where you can find my calendar as well as The Absolute Word, my weekly blog. And you can request that from me at alberthasselbeck@gmail.com. That's alberthasselbeck@gmail.com. And of course, this is Metaphysical Romp 2, and we are around the virtual kitchen table. I'm on the Kansas City, and I guess it's not round. It's got to be oval or something, doesn't it?
Just stretch all that way.
And we are all about mastering the art of living metaphysically, living from a view beyond our physical existence, a view that identifies with our innate divinity. We share about spirituality, pseudo-spirituality, science, and pseudoscience. And Cher's going to introduce today's topic.
All right. We are picking up where we left off last week. We were talking about growth mindset and how important it is versus a fixed mindset and how that affects us, not just physically and mentally, but also spiritually. All of that comes into play. And the person who got us kicked off on this is Mary Murphy, who is the Herman B. Wells Endowed Professor of Psychological and Brain Sciences, say that three times fast, and the founder of the Equity Accelerator at Indiana University. So we did a lot of discussion just setting the stage about what growth versus fixed mindsets are last week. And what we wanted to do is pick right up where she begins sharing about a wonderful experiment that was done. So that's where we're picking up today.
Yeah. And really, when you hear the word fixed mindset, that really describes it. And the growth mindset is about having a mindset that's changeable. Mm-hmm. So she starts us off, and the question that was given her is, what's the most important thing parents and teachers should know about growth mindset? And she says, the way we even subtly react to a kid's mistakes and their performances can send messages beyond what we say. And that is true of adults.
Yes.
And what I think is different from adults, from kids, is we've had a lot of history of this. And even a person's subtle facial expression will probably, in us, the word we use is trigger, but that's not the right word because it doesn't cause, but it becomes a catalyst for an automatic response in us.
I think a good example is the t-shirt. We just saw this recently, and written on the t-shirt is, did I roll my eyes out loud?
Oh my God, that's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's cool.
And you know, a fixed mindset, it's what keeps us in confirmation biases, dogma, and something called motive attribution asymmetry, where we don't even budge from our mindset as opposed to having an open mind and a growth mindset.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that kind of reminds me of something else. I've created a talk. I've done it twice already. And it's a question. What if I got it wrong? If I got it wrong? And I've been using that. I don't speak it out loud, but if I'm in a conversation with somebody and I'm sort of taking some territory, I ask myself, what if I got it wrong? And that kind of opens my hearing to what the other person is saying.
I like that.
Good question to ask.
Very interesting. Yeah.
Very good.
And it takes you have to really shout at your own inner ego when you're saying that, I'm sure. I mean, I would have to anyway.
Well, it depends on how fixed I am in the mindset around what we're talking about.
Right, right.
And there's a lot of fixed mindsets walking around these days.
Yes, boy, it seems like more than ever people are claiming their ground and putting a stake in it.
Yeah.
Maybe even building a house, not just pitching a tent, but building a house.
Well, and I want to make a quick comment too on a fixed mindset. When you think about it, if you have an opposing view of someone who has a dogmatic view, they may think that you have a fixed mindset too, but that's not really true. You have an open mindset even if you disagree with the dogma, and that's the difference.
Yeah, and what I'm always checking is, have I changed my mind lately?
Wow. Yeah, that's interesting. Like, and where have I grown? Where have I grown?
Yeah.
So real quickly, just a summary. She talked about a study that was done where parents were interviewed about how they felt about their kids and whether they were able to solve problems or not. And then the kids were asked to try to solve unsolvable problems.
Oh, that just sounds cruel.
I thought so. I thought this was horrible. I do not like unsolvable problems. I don't, first of all, if there's the question, is it? But it's mean. but parents either helped them problem solve and shift strategies, or they would wince every time their kid made a mistake. And those winces are what the whole study focused on. It predicted the kids' responses were the more subtle behaviors and how they interacted with their kids as they were struggling. And where we want to go with that study, why I just kind of gave a quick summary, is the whole idea of winces and how do we deal with winces? What can we do instead? Are we wincing? Are we sending that out when somebody's trying to communicate something new with us?
Yes. And she gave it another name in the article, and that was, she called it ick face. And I call it stink eye.
Stink eye.
It's made of stink eye. Yeah.
Well, my question is, from whence do we have conflicts?
That might just start one, Bill.
And you think about it, there are a lot of things that we come in contact with that make us wince, and that does send out a message. She goes on to talk about, because struggle and mistakes are normal opportunities for learning, and if we learn to look at it that way, it helps us build that growth mindset as opposed to the fixed mindset. And I love her practice of my favorite mistake.
Oh my goodness. When I read that, I sat back. And what I was reminded of is that research that was shared on Andrew Huberman's Huberman Lab podcast that says the way the brain changes is by noticing errors and marking those errors somehow physiologically in the brain. And then that gets changed overnight when we sleep. But that's when most neuroplasticity happens. So if you don't make a mistake, the brain thinks everything's copacetic, everything's normal, nothing to worry about. When there's error, the brain has a signaling device to mark that with red flags. And I'm remembering acetylcholine is the marker, but we shouldn't trust that. I do think it's interesting, the few statements she shared about the parents who were supportive of helping their kids problem solve and shift strategies, they said things like, try something new. Have you thought about this? But when they winced, they also said, nope, that wasn't it. Try it again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So talk about this. Tell me about it.
Yeah, the favorite mistake. And like, had dinner around the table at dinner instead of what did you do today? It was like, what was your favorite mistake today?
Yeah.
Which encourages, I mean, you have to be careful because you could get people into I got to make a mistake so I have something to talk about at dinner.
Yeah, there's that. Yeah.
But the concept of it, we were reminded, and I can't remember if we talked about this in the last week or not, but the consultant Tom Peters and Waterman.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that.
And how he taught, one of his big teachings was fail fast.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid of failure. And he talks about ready, fire, aim. So like you get ready, you act, and then if it messes up, if it's not right, you re-aim, readjust. replan, and you don't see failure as negative.
I think he missed a step, though.
Yeah.
It's fail fast, grovel early, then add the...
Yes.
Or eat dirt, any way you want to call that.
The philosophy of ask for forgiveness, not permission, kind
yes,
of that's in here somewhere. There,
it is. It definitely
and there is a cool quote. I don't know if I can remember it or not. I hope I can. But it says, failure. Yeah, don't let failure be our undertaker.
Ooh.
Failure is a learning experience, not our death. And I think that continuing to grow from it is so important.
Yes. Yeah, so she has in this article, it bolded, struggle and mistakes are just normal opportunities for learning.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to share a mistake.
All right. Drum roll.
You guys know I have my Paul Hasselbeck Master of Metaphysics website. Well, there's a weekly cartoon posted, a funny, a hump day humor is what we call it. And a cartoon was published that a lot of people could be offended by it.
Oh.
And the minute I saw it, and actually my colleague, Kelly Isola, sent me a text. Have you seen your, and I looked and I went, ugh, and I took it down. So it's like, I had to send out another post on there saying, I took this down. My philosophy is when you make an error, you fix it, you learn from it, and you move on.
Love it. Love it. And you learn certain things. And you also learn how to communicate to other people who are supporting you in things, what your philosophy is so that they match it in what they're doing with you.
Yep.
Yeah. And I'll share my mistake. Yesterday it happened. I had set up a meeting, had a colleague of ours referred me to another client, potential client. I got with her and we set up a meeting and she sent me the invitation and I looked at it too fast. I looked at the invitation and on my calendar and it said the meeting and then it said 2:00. And then on the next line, it said -2:30. And what I saw was the meeting and under it -2:30. And so I had it set for 2:30 and it was at 2:00. So at 2:15, I'm getting an email from her saying, you know, I waited 15 minutes and we'll have to do this later. And I immediately got on the phone and fessed up.
Yeah.
And right. We had a wonderful, delightful conversation. I still don't know where it's going to go, but I felt awful. But I thought, you know, I could make up all these things, but I'm just going to tell her what happened.
Yeah. It's just easier to tell the truth and move on. Grovel early. Don't try.
Grovel early. I like that. That's good philosophy. And what's so amazing is the program we're talking about is time management.
Oh my gosh. That is so ironic, right? Wow.
And of course, important about groveling early is grovel, get over it and move on.
Yes. And so the thing is that sometimes by the way we were raised, we were shamed about our errors.
Mm-hmm. Mm, yes.
And for me, it helped me to see someone model. It wasn't too long ago, maybe 10, 15 years ago, in a meeting at Unity where someone had made a mistake and no one knew who did it. And it was asked in the meeting and the person said, oh, that would be me. That's my mistake. And the next statement is, so now how do we make it right?
Perfect.
Yeah,
perfect.
Right.
Yeah. So when you make an error, then turn it into arrows? Is that what we're talking about?
Now, wait a minute. You got to spell that. Because they could have heard A-R-R-O-W-S.
Oh.
Arrows.
A-R-O-S is what
yes.
I was talking about. Thank you.
Yes, that's important because I think I did hear A-R-R-O-W-S, but I was thinking we're shooting out positive onto the next thing.
And that is what you would do, Cher.
Exactly. Thank you. All right. So are we ready to move on to some myths about growth mindset we should be careful of?
I just want to harp on this a little bit more.
Oh, okay.
Making mistakes isn't shameful. You celebrate them. Boy, that's contrary to popular thinking, isn't it? learn from them, and talk about how to approach the problem the next time.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I do want to say, though, this is just from experience working with companies, I guess. This is all important, but we also want to celebrate the successes.
Oh, absolutely.
And learn from them. And mm-hmm. That should go without saying, but too often we see these big postmortems happening over mistakes and how it happened, why it happened, how awful it was. But nobody ever says anything positive when something good happens.
Yeah. And there has to be a, did you call it a postmortem?
Yes.
Well, there has to be a forensic looking at when we had have a success. Well, how did we make this success?
Yes.
So when we make a success, we just assume it's going to happen again and again. But we got to go back and look at, so how was that success achieved?
We did that. Actually, a good example is the retreat that we did, because we've done several retreats now. And as we plan each retreat, the three of us go back and say, what worked really well that we did before? And what do we want to adjust as a result? And that kind of thing. So I feel good about the way the three of us have done that.
I think so.
Pat on the back.
So now you can go to the next thing you were talking about.
Okay. So she talks about the myths. And one myth is what psychologists call a false growth mindset. And I think this is interesting for people to know. A false growth mindset is misinterpreting it to be about sheer effort.
Ooh.
Yeah. If you just try hard enough, you're bound to improve. And that's not the case. Doing it, working hard is not the answer.
It's not.
Because if you
now, it might take effort, but trying harder and harder and harder and you're still doing it wrong isn't going to help anybody.
Yeah. Perfection. What is it?
Perfect practice.
Practice makes perfect, people say, but that's not true. Practice makes permanent.
Yes.
Perfect practice makes perfect. Which is
did you write that one down for a future book?
That's good. We need to do that for our third book. Yes. And so this is maybe a good time, because it says a truth growth mindset recognizes that there are many ways you can improve and develop. And she says you can ask for help. You can try a different tactic. You can take a break and come back to it. And we found, because her article is so much about kids, although it applies to everybody, we did find a little piece about how to have a growth mindset about aging.
Yeah, so let's take a look at that.
We were thinking this might be a good place for it. We actually found it, to give proper attribution here. It came from The Expectation Effect. That's the name of a book by David Robson. I'm holding it up like people can see it who are
right.
Listening.
Well, I can, so thanks. And I'm going to suggest you give one, and that'll be a teaser for part three.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Because we are, yes. Oh, my goodness.
So pick one, share it, and then we'll move to the absolute word.
Okay. So I'll pick the first one. Rather than idealizing youthfulness, focus on all the things that you can gain from living a longer life, including experience, knowledge, and improved emotional regulation and decision making.
Plus, a few aches and pains along the way.
That's right. But we have stories around them to share.
So as we pivot to the absolute word, we remember that it's based on Sunday messages appearing in Daily Word, a copyrighted Uni publication, and has been used with permission. This one comes from September 25th, 2022. The word is harmony. And the affirmation is, I harmonize my life. You could even say, I harmonize and balance my life. Harmony is a principle for harmonizing all kinds of things, most importantly, aspects of our beliefs, thoughts, and feelings. I do my part to create goodwill, meaning, and beauty by harmonizing my mind and heart with the world around me. Harmony is an integral part of music, adding layers of intricacy and depth. Without harmony and rhythm, a musical composition would be little more than a dissonant cacophony. When listening to a symphony, I harmonize with the resolution of each chord and the synchronization of each note. Similarly, I choose peace as I seek a chord in my relationships and every interaction I have. From a place of love and tranquility, I bring compassion to every situation. With the give and take of compromise, I build understanding and trust. I approach every interaction with faith, focusing my intention on harmonious results. I harmonize my life. I synchronize my humanity with my divinity. And so this is Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck signing off, saying goodbye to my co-hosts and to all of our listeners.
Thank you. This is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton saying thank you for listening.
And this is Reverend Doc Bill Holton also. Thank you for listening. And for the three of us, have a harmonious week this week.